Hello and welcome back to the Cine Club podcast. I'm Matthew.
I'm Jake, and today we're joined by two new hosts.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Samantha. Today, after the screening of Annie Hall at Cine Club, we thought it would be a good idea to explore some of our favourite rom-coms and maybe our least favourites too. Let's start with Annie Hall, though. What do you all think? Personally, I thought it was a bit boring.
I thought it was great. If you could excuse, it's difficult to excuse the presence of Woody Allen.
I mean, it's quite a big presence given that he directed it and starred in it.
Yeah.
But I was the same. I really liked it.
I liked it. I felt bad laughing at it, though.
I know. We were laughing at him rather than with him in the start.
Yeah.
There's like a whole sequence at the start where like he's like basically like projects his adult self into his childhood memories. But as he grew up to marry a child, basically, it's like, it's like one of the worst aged things I've ever seen. Yeah. And I think it was, it's terrible.
Yeah.
but other than that, I don't know.
How come we... How come we didn't enjoy it?
It tries to be funny and it just isn't. And then it tries to like be emotional and like meaningful and it just isn't. So it lands somewhere in the middle and it's just a bit boring.
Oh, I thought the emotional parts were a bit like, because you don't feel bad for him at all.
No, you don't, because he's like a terrible, terrible boyfriend. So like,
character's quite bad as well. But you know,
I think that's the thing. You can kind of get away with it when you acknowledge that, he is terrible and it's funny because of that.
You
don't really feel bad for him. You feel bad for everyone around him.
Yeah.
Because they have to put up with him.
Diane Keaton's character was called. I was genuinely about to ask that.
Alvy Singer.
Yeah.
And Woody Allen's called Annie Hall.
Was he called Alfie or Alvy?
Alvy. Like short for Alvin.
That's a strange name.
Like the chipmunk.
Oh, right. Yeah. Like the chipmunk. Not like
speaking of chipmunks, Paul Simon's in this.
Dude, speaking of, because he's small.
Yeah.
read the room.
Sorry.
God, no, yeah, Paul Simon, isn't it? And I was like sat the whole film thinking, oh, Jake said Paul Simon's in this. But I need the toilet. So I was like, oh, I'll stick around until Paul Simon shows up. It got near the end of the film, I was like, oh, I don't think he's showing up. Went to the toilet, came back, and his scene like ended. And I was gutted.
To be fair, you only missed him basically saying hello. Like, he introduced himself, and then you saw the rest.
That bit is quite funny, though, when he's surrounded by, like, all these tall, like, this tall entourage.
Exactly.
And he's there, he's like, like, his arms, like, up on the counter.
Yeah.
He's up there, he's like,
he literally looks like a child. He looks like he should be drinking J2O in the corner. But
he's like someone had reversed the film Big.
Yeah,
he became a kid.
And then Jeff Goldblum's at his house party.
He is.
Jeff Goldblum has, like, a 10-second cameo where he's I need to speak to my agent.
Yeah.
It's a very, very weird film. I didn't realise how much there was going on in it, really. Like,
yeah, it's loads.
Seems like a really random cast as well.
It is a really random cast, yeah. It's very much like, it's another one of those, like, I like the fact that it does the whole fourth wall breaking thing as well. It's like, it's kind of like Ferris Bueller, except it feels like a middle-aged arsehole. And I know Ferris Bueller isn't like the nicest character anyway, but like, I don't know, I just like all of that. I thought it was funny the way he was like, the way he sort of addresses the situation, because like I say, he's semi-aware of how annoying he is and like how daft the situations are, but like I don't know, it was something about it I quite liked. But I can see where you're coming from as well, because I feel like it tries quite hard to be funny, and if you don't find it funny then there's like not that much.
And the fourth wall breaking is just boring. It like gets overdone, and it's every time he breaks the fourth wall it's like, oh, I'm complaining at the people around me while doing the thing he's complaining about.
Yeah, it's like,
this isn't funny.
Do you know when, what's it called? When Ricky Gervais writes scenes and it's him arguing with people and he's like, oh, I'm right. And you're like, did he write this just to prove an imaginary argument? Then that happened.
No, I know what you mean. It's like the whole...
Are you all right?
What's the thing that was like viral on TikTok a while ago? It was like the people going to the coffee shop and complaining about
I was like, waiting for a scene like that in this.
Yeah, well, I did think that it was going to be like that.
Yeah, like when he's in the queue and he's arguing with the...
Yeah.
Well, he's not. He's complaining.
Well, even that, he's complaining, but he's like arguing about, because he's very pretentious. I think it is a very pretentious film. It's like, you know, like kind of, ooh, look at how smart I am.
Yeah.
But it's like, but then it is also that almost creates humor in the sense that it's like he's also not that smart. Kelly Duvall's also in this film.
Yeah, she is. Did they go and see Bob Dylan? Is that where they've been?
No, she's talking about when she went to see Bob Dylan. like some other time because she's like a reporter or something.
A journalist, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. She's good. She's in like two scenes, which is good.
I just like all of, like, it is quite fun seeing all of these like actors just showing up and, but yeah, anyway. I liked it, but yeah, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah.
What about our favourite films?
What's your
favorite? I really like La La Land.
La La Land.
Because
nice
I think
good choice,
I
think.
The colours for it are just so vibrant.
Oh, it is
and,
dead.
Like,
I put in me dead professional notes.
Literally looks like you wrote them on the receipts. It's like
it
why
does, it's just like,
it is dead colourful, isn't it? Yeah.
But I think like, the cast as well is really cool as well. It's really good. I think the relationship in it is like, it's just really like sweet. Even if like they have arguments in it, I think it's like, it just, they show it really well and like what they're thinking and how some things don't always work out, but it just shows how a pretty movie it is with all the music and that as well.
Yeah. I like, well, I've not seen it properly, but from what I've seen, I really like the fact it's like a big, like modern tribute to like classic, like old Hollywood films. Like it's got the sort of, like, I know we saw the bit like where they do Rebel Without a Cause and they like go see
but then they
go to the Griffin Observatory where the film, like where that film was like shot and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
and I was like,
so creative.
It's so cool. Yeah. It's like stuff like that. Yeah. I'm like, they know, you know, it's like very much like, oh, look at all of these brilliant films that we're like referencing, but at the same time, it's done in such a respectful way where it's like an appreciation of like, this is like a modern retelling of that kind of narrative with all the same colors, the same kind of big bold musical numbers. It's very Hollywood-esque, but you know, it's a bit more like tragic, I guess. It doesn't really have a happy ending. It's more like a, from what I can tell anyway, but
I wasn't know because I'd heard of how it ended.
Oh,
so I was like, oh, but I feel like you can kind of tell where it's going.
Yeah,
like definitely. You know when he starts,
I've seen the two of them look like that, like at each other's throats.
Yeah.
It's like,
but it's the second he says to her when when he's like, oh, I'm going on tour. And
yeah,
I was like,
it's like,
oh,
you could tell how it was going to end.
It's
like,
oh, well, this is going
to
be,
if they didn't do that, it might be a bit hard to tell.
Yeah, but I think if it ended with them together, I would have hated it.
Yeah.
It would have been the most ridiculous
ending
ever.
It ended, like, quite well.
It ends really
perfect.
Well, but it's horrible and, like,
it's sad.
Does it end? Yeah, when it ends and he's like, it's like, what would have happened?
Yeah. Oh,
I was like, oh, this is,
that hurt my soul.
I was watching it at, like, 2 a.m. last night. I was like, oh, this is horrible. Like,
what was it? Was
it
Elliot
really
who
bad.
Replied to the chat when we were talking about this film? He said, oh, that's my favourite horror film.
Yeah.
Like,
it
was
really,
kind of how
true,
I knew
yeah.
at that point it was going to be one of those ones.
I've never seen it, so now you've just spoiled it for us. Absolute heartbroken.
Oh,
sorry.
Sorry.
I've got in me notes as well. I've got Emma Stone's incredible, but Ryan Gosling does more just through facial expressions.
He does?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just his face. He just looks like, I don't know, he speaks. And I'm not a massive Ryan Gosling fan, but I feel...
Shame on you.
I was saying, in the car, I feel like in most films he acts, like, just in the same...
I know, but, like, but he still does have quite a bit of range, because, like, in that, he's, like, doing all of the sort of musical stuff, and he's a bit more,
oh, that's
like,
impressive.
Whimsical. Like, Drive, he's, like, a proper, like, hard, and, like, he's really cool and that. He's, like, a total badass, and you know, he... It's weird because I know exactly where you're coming from. He does do the same Ryan Gosling thing. I think he maybe just has like a little like a switch in his brain of like, do I want to be hard man Ryan Gosling, musical Ryan Gosling, whimsical and funny Ryan Gosling?
I like musical Ryan Gosling.
Well, I know, and I mean, because like even in Barbie, that's like very self-aware, very daft Ryan Gosling, but he's still like acting properly. He's not just like being an idiot.
I see what
like,
you mean,
I don't know. Drive, I think, is probably the best example of him being like, he's really good in that. I love that film, so yeah.
I think Emma Stone, like, I've not seen Emma Stone in a film where I think she's done a bad job.
Yeah.
She's incredible. Like, I've seen, she's in Poor Things. I think she's one of the only redeeming factors of the Spider-Man film she was in.
Oh, yeah, she's,
I think
really,
she's great
really
in
good
them.
In TASM 2.
Yeah, like I said, Poor Things.
One,
and in this, I was like, oh, she's going to be good. She's class. And she's like, the bit where she was singing near the end, I was like, oh, this is just sad.
Yeah.
I just feel sad. Even the bit, you know, when she goes to audition?
Yeah,
and she,
quite
like,
sad.
Starts, and the guy's like, right, I think we've seen enough. You just
she does really
like,
good
what?
At, like, just being, like, herself and, like, being
exactly.
normal on it. It's not, like, overreaction much.
That's what I was, like, thinking when she's doing the audition bits. just acting as someone, just acting as an actor.
Yeah, which must be quite, that must be quite difficult.
But she pulls off like really well.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's cool.
John Legend's in it.
Any comment?
Yeah, he's the guy who leads the band that Seb joins.
Oh wait, yeah, he is.
John Legend. And I was like,
oh my god, At first I was thinking
that took me out of it.
I was really confused.
It took me out of it at first.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it reminds me of, you know, when Ed Sheeran shows up in films.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like this is a thing that we still get nowadays, because it's like, obviously we're looking at it now and it's like really dated, but at the time, John Legend was like a chart-topping, really quite popular singer, as was Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
It's going to be like I'm sure, like Tyler, the Creator's in like a load of films at the minute. He's meant to be in that Marty Supreme and things like that. Yeah. There's quite a lot of people who are like, you know, who aren't really like, they're better known for their music, who are showing up in films.
Like Taylor Swift just appearing in things.
Yeah, exactly that. Like Taylor Swift, like all of those, like in 10 years, we're going to be like, oh my God, what? They're in this? And like, but it doesn't seem that weird now because they're just like everywhere. Like, so you like expect to see
Busta Rhymes was showing up in Halloween.
That's another good example. Busta Rhymes in Halloween and LL Cool J in Deep Blue Sea, except he's actually quite good in that film, which you wouldn't think. That's the problem. They don't do that anymore, though, because it used to be better in the 90s where like a rapper would show up, act in the film, be really good, and then sing the theme song as well. So like Men in Black, it's like Will Smith's brilliant in it. He does a quality theme tune and that's it. He does two parts. Be like if John Legend was in La La Land, and then the credits is like John Legend like on the piano singing like a La La Land theme. Unless he does that.
I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Well, no, because... It's like you'll.
I mean, La La. That's a different example because obviously it's a musical, so it's got other music. But you know what I mean? Like that's like the whole.
It's like he had his own like music in it as well. It's like a bit different from what Ryan Gosling was going for.
I do like City of Stars.
So are they like proper singing in it, like a musical singing, or is it just like?
It's like there's no auto tune or anything. It's like all their natural voice, which is really nice. That just feels real.
I don't know. I don't know if I didn't look it up. I don't know if that's him playing the piano at the end.
Or
like Juvenis.
Seems like
I think it would be.
Yeah, he probably would have taught
him how
to do that.
He is really good.
How hard can it be to teach yourself to play the piano? I mean, come on, Ryan.
Yeah, it's quite fun. It's good. I wish I learnt that theme tune at the time when I did, but nope. Give that up.
Learning like the start of Benny and the Jets and never touching a piano again. I was like, I'm not doing this.
Canon for the story.
It is, isn't it? It's a canon event. Thinking that you can like play music and be really good and be like, oh, I'm going to start a band with all my friends and then never go in anywhere.
Yeah.
The thing about the colours you mentioned was really interesting because I think the colour is like phenomenal.
Oh my God, it is.
Especially like, you know, when he sees it in the bar at the end.
That's
blue.
I was like,
I don't like it. I'm like, I'm just feel sad.
The colour theory was really smart.
So sad.
It's just such a colourful movie. I can't get over it.
Yeah. So good it won an Oscar. Oh wait, no, it didn't.
Gulp. Well, it didn't. But have you been waiting to say that?
Yes.
Yeah. Emma Stone got an Oscar.
I was
Did she actually?
She did, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. She got one for La La Land and Poor Things, I'm pretty sure.
Nice. She deserves it.
Which I understand.
Really, really good. But yeah.
Where was John Legend? John Legend's.
Oh,
that's another bit as well that I really like. When they're actually on tour. And the band's playing.
I really like the song when they were playing.
It's really good.
I was like, ooh.
It keeps throwing me off because I felt like you're watching it and it's John Legend on guitar. And I'm like, oh, it's really cool. And it cuts to Ryan Gosling on piano. Like, you hit like Ray Charles. Like, I was like, what's going on? Incredible. I've picked on How I Met Sally.
Good choice.
I watched it earlier in the year. I was told to watch it and I was like, okay. Never seen this. Put it on. Really enjoyed it. I knew I would like it because I like Billy Crystal. I just think
it's only just occurring. It was like as we were leading up to this episode, how maybe abnormal the amount of rom coms I had watched was because I just assumed everybody had seen loads of them.
No, you'd seen a lot.
I know. Like, I don't really know why.
Even, like just
really
a few months
them.
Ago, I'd watched How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and you were like, "Oh, I love that." And
yeah,
I was like,
yeah,
okay.
Well, that was one of those ones that I was like, I was gonna watch, and there's like, I've got loads that
I
really like.
About that instead, shouldn't I?
You could have talked about that. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, you always say that one, and I was thinking of 10 Things I Hate About You.
That's good.
One
like
of
that.
My favourites. But,
but
oh well. Yeah, maybe we'll do a sequel episode.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be good.
When Harry Met Sally. Cool.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. I think it's funny, and I like how. Would you? I'm not seeing it since I first watched it. What do you think Harry's a nasty. He's a bit of a nasty piece of work.
He's a bit of a nasty piece of
work. He's not like Alvy, whatever his face. Alvy Singer. Bad. But he's still. And that those films are quite similar, I think.
They are actually. Because I did say at the time that Annie Hall was like a. It was like a proto When Harry Met Sally, I think. But.
Probably why I don't like either of them.
Probably why you don't like either. That's the common thread. What I'm curious though about When Harry Met Sally. Why didn't you like that one?
It just wasn't. It was just a bit nothingy, and I couldn't tell. There was too many people that looked similar, and I just hadn't a clue what was going on. So I sort of got bored and was like, I don't care about any of these people. They're a bit boring. Oh well.
They do like jump around in time quite a bit, which I think confused me a bit the first time because it's a little bit hard to grasp like how long they've actually known each other.
I think it's 9 years.
Is it over the course of 9 years? Yeah, that would make sense, I guess. I don't know. I love this film. I'm a total sucker for it. I watch it every time. It's one of those films I try to watch. You know that weird limbo period between Christmas and New Year? They always seem to put it on telly around then because the whole finale of it's on New Year's Eve.
Oh, the finale.
And I love that. Like that whole final quote.
Makes me sad.
It's so good.
So sad.
But it's not even sad though. It's just like the most lush, like finally. It is like, great. It's worked out. And I mean, God knows, they might get married and divorce like the next day.
Yeah, maybe.
But even that, the whole thing they do, you know, where they have the like various married couples.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. That's
and then their lovely. And then their last one to close it out, which sort of suggests that it actually did work out for them.
Yeah,
and it's like it's just I just love
a
it.
A nice time, and Carrie Fisher's in it.
Carrie Fisher's in it. I mean, Meg Ryan is like the. I feel like the wardrobe for this film.
The wardrobe's
like superb.
Yeah, that was the only redeeming quality. Is it just
yeah,
pretty?
Billy,
it's really
Billy
Crystal's really...
like got that shit on the whole time.
They both do. I mean, Meg Ryan's hair is lush. Like the whole thing
insane.
Is just. They just look so cool, and like the whole film's so autumnal and cozy, and it's just got like a really nice like vibe about it. Yeah. But like,
I mean, a very cozy atmosphere and that.
Yeah, exactly.
You should watch it. It's really good.
Oh, well, like, I'll have to watch these all.
I think that's what you get. Like, I like that in a rom-com though, where I feel like they should feel like nice, cozy, comfortable films that don't complete. Which is like, because I don't know if I would class La La Land's rom-com, even though I've not seen it. Mm. To me, I would have thought that was more like a sort of, like it's more like a musical drama, I guess, with the romance in. Like, because like. I don't know, like, because When Harry Met Sally is also, like, a really, really funny film. Yeah. Like, it's like, I think that the fact that they've got Billy Crystal, who was an SNL comedian, and quite a lot of the people who were in it were, like they were sort of doing comedy, and...
Well, Carrie Fisher had just been in The Blues Brothers, I think.
Yeah, more or less. It was
a few years later.
1989, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So it's, like, about 10 years later, like, but pretty much, yeah.
Oh, well.
But anyway, yeah.
I was going to say something else then. Don't remember what I was going to say.
Left.
You consult my notes. That's not on Hill. I've dropped my notes on the floor.
It's so unprofessional.
I brought notes.
I know, but you've got the wrong film.
Will you shut up? God. Pick it up, me and you. Oh, I think the only bit that kind of threw me off is, you know, when does someone die and he goes on to Sally's house? Or just like break up with someone, or something happens.
Something
happens. And he's like, oh, I'm going to come for you. And then they just sleep together.
Yeah.
That'd be happening. I was like, have I missed something?
Yeah. Well, that's like the turning point, isn't it? Because like the whole point through the film is that they can't have sex because then they can't be friends. And they're friends without sex, even though everybody keeps. And then there's like the whole thing where it's like, oh, well, is that even possible? And then it's like, no, evidently not. Because then they get together in the end. But. Yeah. Which I don't think that's a great message to put out there, really.
Not particularly,
no. It's not like the most, you know, it's not really a great message, but it's more like the fact that they're like, I think they were always destined to be together. They just couldn't get with it, you know, for fear of commitment or whatever.
Yeah, I suppose
But yeah.
Yeah. They did a sequel.
Did they?
In the form of a Hellman's advert.
Oh yeah, they did.
About
with
6 months
Sweeney.
Ago. Sydney Sweeney, yeah. She's in it. I don't know why she's in it.
God knows.
But she's in it, you know. I was like sat there, I was thinking, is she like in the related to the first one or something? Then I realized she would have been about, I don't know, one. I don't know.
Anyway,
but I watched the advert and I was like,
But there you go. So they do stay together.
There you go. That's canon in my mind. And he's still got the same jump run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently that shop's a nightmare though, because there's a real place you can go and everybody goes and tries to, you know, recreate that. So, trying to have it if you're completely, if you've never seen the film and don't
you
know,
think something's going
you
on.
You would, yeah, exactly.
There's 50 people in this diner.
Oh my
God.
I mean, that, yeah, that's like the most iconic bit, but it is, it has a lot of iconic bits. It I think does, it's just, it is just, it's just nice. Like I say, it's cozy.
Nothingy.
It's nothing.
That's what I like about it, though.
Yeah.
It's just two people going on the business.
Just living their lives.
Just
try. Yeah.
It's just not entertaining. It's just a bit, how nothing.
Though? How?
I just didn't care about any of them. Oh, well. Just really nothingy.
That's it's sometimes fair. Sad when a movie that you really enjoy isn't always everyone's cup
of tea. I know. Well, that's it. Or when you've like hyped it up and you really wanted to enjoy it. Because I've like, I've been like that with some things and I'm just like,
oh, yeah, me
I
too.
Really, really want to like
think
this.
Some things are like cooler than they probably actually are. And I'm like, I just enjoy it.
I know.
Yeah.
Sometimes so. I like convince myself that the film is as good as I'd like led myself to believe. I'm like, oh yeah, it really was as cool as I thought, even if I didn't like it that much. But yeah, okay, well that is interesting. But I don't know. I think it's one of those ones that's in my rotation. I think if anybody asks me for like a good rom-com, that would be probably one of the ones. And also, I mean, the spiritual sequel of Sleepless in Seattle is also really good, because that was the same, pretty sure same director and pretty sure same writer as well.
It's
very, very similar vibes-wise. It just swaps out Billy Crystal for Tom Hanks, but I think it still has Meg Ryan. I know Tom Hanks.
Okay, that's good.
Ryan's still in it, but Tom Hanks like isn't. He's not as good as Billy Crystal, but it's like a different kind of story. It's like really nice, where it's like the wife's died, and then he's got this kid, and the kid like wants to see him happy again, so he like rings in like this radio show, and then they're talking over the radio show, and eventually they meet at the end, that's and it's like it's really cool. I really like it.
I'll give that a watch.
But yeah, yeah, well,
Meg Ryan gets a mention in another film.
Oh, does she? Does she get mentioned in Notting Hill?
She does, yeah.
Well, there you go. That leads us nicely into my film, which I suggested, which is Notting Hill. Probably my favourite rom-com. I think it's the best of the sort of Richard Curtis, British, Hugh Grant. You know, there was like a big chunk of them that all came out around the same time, and they all... I think they get a lot of stick, and I don't really think they deserve it. I think that like they're all really good films, and they've all aged really well. I know. Well, you've seen Four Weddings and a Funeral.
I've seen Four Weddings, and I really enjoyed it. I was giving it stick as well. I was like, oh, Hugh Grant rom coms, and I watched Four Weddings, and then Notting Hill. I like them both.
Good. Four Weddings is good. I like it, but I feel like Four Weddings is like it's the proto version of Notting Hill. Like it's more like a video game sequel where they take everything that works in Four Weddings and a Funeral and then they beef it up and make it better in Notting Hill.
Yeah, because you care more about. I think I care more about the relationship in Notting Hill.
Yes, 100%.
I couldn't care
because Anna McDowell's just crap. She's like the worst actress ever, and she's not at all convincing in Four Weddings. Even I think all of the side characters in Four Weddings are more interesting. But then I love all of the little side characters in Notting Hill as well, like the Tim McInnery, Hugh Bonneville. There's so many of them, and they're all like, and the one out of Vicar of Dibley, I can't remember the actress's name, but you know she's the one where she can't believe that Anna Scott's in her house.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's just really funny and
she's good in it. Yeah,
I don't know. It's quite.
I can't believe. I'm just following her in the toilet.
Exactly that, yeah. It's like, it is. It's just, there's loads of just little, like, nice bits in it. And the fact that it's not just the sort of romance between them two, it's the romance and also, like, her life as, like, a famous person and, like, the sort of effect that takes on her. And, like, you know, it's not, like, the deepest commentary ever, but, like, you really do feel for her. Like, they are really good characters. And you're, like, you feel terrible that they're, like, they can't be together almost because of the world and not because of them. It's just the situation they find themselves in, and because of the daft roommate, who's also hilarious, by the way, the Reese Ivans, I can't remember.
Oh, that was him.
It is him, and he's really funny. Spike or something he's called, I can't remember, but yeah.
Anyone got any thoughts on Notting Hill?
Surprisingly, it's a film I actually like.
Oh, really? I was getting ready.
Yes!
I was like,
get in! I win! Ah, that's awesome.
What do you like about Notting Hill?
Yeah, go on. What do you like about it?
It's been that long since I've seen it. I don't remember much about it other than like the one of the opening scenes or something. Or like and the bookshop sort of bit.
Yeah.
But it was enjoyable. I didn't dislike it for once.
Oh, nice. That's good.
Do you know who the fella in the bookshop is?
Yeah, it's Dylan Moen. That's got to be a Black Book reference.
Yeah. I think they did that intentionally.
There's not a chance that wasn't the bit.
I know.
I thought that was really funny when he was popular. I was like, oh, that's great.
Well, that's it. That's what's quite funny about these films, because you see basically every sort of actor and B tier character, they're all actors who you know from something else. Because either they weren't as famous then, or Richard Curtis was just good pals with them, because I mean, he wrote almost every British sitcom at that point. So
you mentioned B tier actors. Alec Baldwin's in it.
Yes. And
is he playing himself?
I think so.
I was talking to him in the car.
That's the joke that he's going out with Anna Scott, who is the fictional film star.
Yeah.
But he's the real Alec Baldwin. Yeah. And the whole thing with the Horse and Hound magazines, absolutely hilarious. Like, he sneaks into the hotel so he can talk to her, but he pretends he's an interviewer. And they're like, well, what magazine are you from? And he looks at the first one he can see, Horse and Hound magazine.
The bit when he's then he's talking to the other actor. He's like, do you want any more horses in this film? And they go, well, it's in space, so no.
And when he can't find his glasses and he has to wear the prescription goggles as well. And
that bit's good.
That's what I mean. There's just loads of little bits like that that it's just really nice. Yeah. And on the Bill Withers bit as well, where it
shows
the period of a year passing, and it's all four seasons as he's walking down Portobello Market.
Jesus.
I went there also. I went to the bookshop and I went to the market.
When he was walking, he was really sad.
Well, I mean, I walked through it in the winter, feeling quite sad because it was cold, so I guess close enough. Oh, well.
Might have been cozy though.
It was, it was. The bookshop was cozy. There was a massive queue, but I'm glad I went because I got a bookmark from there, and it says, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy waiting for him to say that's I love him. Cool. It was that's so cool. So
the little details that matter.
Exactly. Yeah. So nice. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's a lush quote and the music's really good in it. Like I say, the Bill Withers song. And
I think Elvis Costello did loads of the soundtrack.
Yeah. I think there's just some really good, it's just nice. It's just got, and it's a nice ending as well.
It's a lovely ending.
It's a lush, really feel good one, unlike something La La Land, which is heart-rending.
Devastating.
Notting Hill's much. It's just, it's another cozy. But it's the less American cozy of when Harry Met Sally. It's more British cozy.
British cozy is just nicer.
Yeah,
it's cozy and happy.
It's just really happy, and I just want everything good that could happen to all of these characters to happen to them, and even though Hugh Grant's playing the most stereotypical posh British person. I don't care. I love him. He's lush.
Yeah. I was watching this at 8 in the morning. I was really tired. Do you know the guy who we work in the bookshop with?
Yes.
Do you know who I genuinely thought that was at first?
Who do you think?
And I stand by this. I think they look very similar. I thought it was Kenny Everett. And then I realised Kenny Everett was long dead.
Long dead in the early 2000s.
Honest to God, I was convinced it was him. I turned to my nan and I went, is that Kenny Everett? She went, he's dead? And then I went, Kenny Everett's dead? So I was convinced it was him. So then I missed quite a bit of the first bit of the film.
Because you were trying to figure out
if it was him.
Well, it was not.
It was not him. But he was a bit of a underused character, the guy in the bookshop.
I completely forgot about him, actually, until you said so, but I feel like he doesn't really...
Doesn't add much.
He doesn't really add much. Unlike Spike, who is, seems like a useless character, but he's, funny and also
kind of
the cause of his downfall. But it is an interesting thing, though, isn't it? It's, that idea of, going out to someone really famous and then he literally can't escape her.
Yeah.
Because it's, when they break up, she's everywhere, but then he's going to the cinema on his own watching her films because that's the only way he can still see her. It's just it's just so sad, but I'm so glad that it comes good. So
I quite like the bit when one of my favorite bit, when he goes to the restaurant and he's telling them all that he's turned it down, and he's asking them all, do you think it was a good idea? And they can all they're all lying, they're going, yeah. And then Spike comes in and he goes, oh, what are you doing that for? I thought that bit was really funny.
Yeah. And they end up getting together as well, doesn't it? Him and the Vicar of Dibley one. But and they do the whole chase to get back to her, which is great. But I love it. It's a good film. So, right. One more. Go on. Sell us.
Yeah,
have any of you actually watched the film?
No.
Lovely.
No, sorry.
I apologise.
4 More Years, it's a Swedish political, like, gay rom-com from 2010. What couldn't you love from it? It's just actually funny. Mm. And it's just so tropey. It's, like, to the level of fan fiction, level of insanity, where, like, the characters opposing political parties, they walk into a lift together, trips over, spills all his paper everywhere, and he's like, no, face the wall, don't look at it, don't look at all my papers. And it's just adorable and just happy. And it has a nice happy ending. And they all live happily ever after. It's just a nice film.
That's good. You want
that's a nice film.
A nice happy ending. Yeah.
Unlike all the rest of the films, just, you want a rom-com to have a happy ending.
I did
it's
read
nice.
Like a bit on it as well, and it does seem like just a sweet little like movie. Yeah. That'd be nice, yeah, cute to watch. Like, which is always nice for a rom-com.
Yeah.
You want it, yeah, you want something like that. It's interesting that like, because I'd never even heard of it, but like, yeah, I'd never thought of like all of the different rom-coms. There's probably like so many different varieties of rom-com from all around the world, you know? I mean, we have, because you've got the sort of American Hollywood rom-com, which is like, I mean, even that's a newer version. And then the very cozy British one and Swedish. But, you know, it's interesting to think all of the different takes on it, because it's such a, I mean, it's such a universal thing, isn't it? Like the romantic comedy, like everyone laughs and everybody falls in love. So that's like it's so applicable to like any culture. So like, yeah, I really want to watch it. I'm curious to see how it would be, you know, and the whole political thing. Cause I mean, that's like,
I don't understand a single thing about Swedish politics. So yeah. I was like, yeah, they're on opposing parties. I don't care. They're happily ever after. And there's definitely, and I've heard things online where they're like, oh yeah, it does make quite a few like political jokes and stuff. No, and I was
yeah,
they'll have flown over my head. I don't care.
How did you find it then? Like, how did you come across watching this?
I don't know. I just saw it on Netflix one day and I was just like, what rom-coms can I watch or what happy little films can I watch? And I was like, that sounds fun. Let's watch it. And then it's like one of my favorite films. Oh, it would be my favourite film if it wasn't for the fact there is like a bit of an icky, quite biphobic scene in the film that makes it a bit less good.
Mm. Yeah.
But the rest of the film's nice.
I love it when you find films like that where it's like the universe is just casted upon you and you're like, oh, I need to watch this now. Yeah. Like, I feel like that was like how I found Coming to America. I'm sure I just stumbled upon that on telly and I only saw the second half and I was like, I need to watch the rest of this. This is brilliant. And you just like, and you know, you just discover all sorts of like great films just from, you know, things like that. I mean, the Netflix algorithm isn't always great, but sometimes it does deliver the goods. So it's good that it's on Netflix as well. I've got no excuse now.
Well, would you show it at Cine Club? Would it be something you'd want to put on?
I don't know.
Is that scene putting you off, do you think?
Probably, because it is a bit, it just catches you so off guard, because it's really nice and positive. And for a 2010 film, it's like
quite that is
progressive. But then they're just like, oh no, I think I'm bisexual. The other character turns around and being like, that doesn't exist. That's just a thing that like people on the right come up with so that they can like excuse their being gay. They're just gay all along. And it's like, no, God, what's wrong with
it's not really
what?
How it
no,
works.
That's not Jesus. How it works. And it just catches you so off guard, but the rest of the film's so nice.
Yeah. It's like everything's really pleasant and progressive. Like, and then
that happens.
Yeah. 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 Could you not? Yeah. You could just cut that out. You need like a censored version.
Like run down the stairs in the cinema, like a mute, like 30 seconds.
Okay.
Like, there you go. Keep watching.
Mm. Oh, it glitched. Man, how strange. That's weird. Anyway, not missing
anything.
Still
see the subtitles? It's like, no.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Speaking of subtitles, there's a really funny bit because they're on two of the characters. They're like in a different country doing some political thing, and then neither of them knew they were going to be there, and they're reading a newspaper and they realise that none of them know what the newspaper says, so instead of subtitles it says, don't bother translating this, the characters don't understand what they're saying.
Oh my God. That's funny, I like that.
It's like, makes it still work even if you don't understand the language.
That's clever. I mean, I feel like sometimes, because we found this out recently, me and you, Drake, is that comedies, like rom-coms and comedies, sometimes don't, like, sometimes I feel like some people can't maybe appreciate them enough if it's not in the language that they speak. Like, we watched, would you call it a rom-com?
Which one?
Welcome to the Sticks.
Oh my God.
Because that was a French comedy.
Yeah, it's close to a rom-com, I guess. It's very much, I mean, I kept saying it was like an Adam Sandler film.
It's like a horror film. But like, the point I was trying to make was like, we couldn't really, maybe it wasn't funny what we were watching.
But I mean, I wouldn't. Like, I wouldn't care. I found it kind of funny. Like,
fair enough.
I didn't think it was like that good, but like yeah. I still thought it was.
I think it's
funny
difficult age. To sort of appreciate comedy through subtitles, but I'm still gonna give it a shot. I'm sure I will enjoy.
I'll probably enjoy that, but yeah. You Which know. Is reminded us, Adam Sandler was also in a couple of good rom coms. The Wedding Singer is probably the best one. I think that's a brilliant film, and Punch Drunk Love isn't. It's not really a traditional rom com, and I don't love it as much as most people do. I think it's an interesting one for like him acting, like actually acting.
Nice.
But it's yeah, I don't know. It's like it's good, but A Wedding Singer is so funny. That
the one where he looks like Springsteen.
I was thought he looked more like Bob Dylan, but yeah.
Doing clips of it and it looks like
you will listen to every damn word I have to say. It's just yeah, I mean it's just funny because it's him and Drew Barrymore, and it's like nice. You know they're kind of like the. Yeah.
Whatever accent you try to do there did not. Yeah, it sounded like Donald Trump.
You sound like Rocky. Do that again?
No.
Sorry, I'll listen to it when the podcast comes
There's
out.
There's only a one time.
The first episode I've ever listened to.
The one and done. And the first time you finally listen to it, just seeing me make a prat of myself. Anyway, but yeah, Wedding Singer's good. That's worth a mention. There you go, Billy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's all the meet cutes we've got time for today. Make sure to check out our Instagram, TikTok and Facebook pages for more Cine Club podcast content and updates.
As always, this episode was recorded and produced by us, the Sunderland University students, as well as being engineered and edited by Emily Main. A special thanks goes out to Steve Cannon, Barbara Sadler and Richard Berry. A reminder that our four rom-com experts this week consisted of me, Matthew,
me, Jake,
me, Samantha,
and me, Amy. This has been a Cine Club production for Spark. Thanks for listening.